Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy game day. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thanks so much for being here, making Pack-A-Day part of your daily routine. Of course, we're here for you 365 days a year. Today, we're going to be joined by Carmen Vitale. Had a great conversation with Carmen on sort of the end game scenario of what happened in Packers Cowboys. We also take a look around the NFC North, where Green Bay stands, and just overall where this Green Bay team is at through the first quarter of the regular season. You're going to want to stick around for that. Before we get there, it is an NFL Sunday. There's a variety of things that you're going to want to keep an eye on today. Of course, cheering against some NFC North teams is never a bad thing. We've got Vikings, Browns in the international window. So you get to kick things off relatively early watching that game and cheering against the Vikings. I'm not sure exactly how well your hate cheer for the Detroit Lions is going to go as they take on the Cincinnati Bengals. That should be a very, very easy Detroit Lions win, but we get to hope for an upset in that one as well. There are some other games that are certainly worth monitoring. That Buccaneers and Seahawks game, I think, is at least of intrigue. Both teams are 3-1 in the NFC. It's one of the, I think, really, I don't know if I want to say important, but it's a really good game in the NFC for two teams that are playing really good football overall. So one of those teams is going to move to 4-1. The other will move to 3-2, barring another crazy tie. But I think that one is worth keeping an eye on. And then you've got Broncos and Eagles as well. Actually a pretty tight line in that one. Eagles are undefeated, but they haven't been great so far. And the Broncos still feel like they're a little bit better than their record. I think that one's going to be close. And as Packers fans, with one loss and one tie already, you need some of these top NFC teams to start losing some games as well. Would be nice to see the Eagles pick up their first loss of the season. So that one will also be worth keeping an eye on. Fun Sunday, right? Like no pressure, no stakes. Green Bay has their bye week. And we just kind of get to get back and relax and watch all of these really fun games. So hopefully it is a very fun Sunday and hopefully you guys get to enjoy the heck out of it. Before that though, here's our wonderful conversation with the one and only Carmen Vitale. All right, we are being joined by Carmen Vitale. You can find her on social media at Carmi V. Of course, you can find her on Fox Sports Radio as well. Carmen, it was a very fun and interesting week per usual in the NFL. I have a lot of things that I want to get to and pick your brain on. But before we get started, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm probably better than most Packer fans going into this week. I'll say that. If you see behind me, that is the dog from last week. That's Mozzie. So he's just going to be hanging out in here with me. So you might awesome. See him.
Absolutely love it. All right. So let's jump into the Packers and the Cowboys play to a 40-40 fairly epic tie on Sunday Night Football. It was an amazing game. I think everyone wishes we had a winner. But what were your just kind of key takeaways from that game that really was massively entertaining?
It was, and especially, you know, that fourth quarter when both of these teams were just going blow for blow. I mean, that was, it was really cool. It was really fun. I mean, I think that because of the Cowboys rep, like Dak Prescott in turn gets some of that rep, at least nationally. And he's a great quarterback. I've always been a Dak defender. And I just didn't think that, you know, he had as many weapons as he maybe should have in recent years. And then now he's got CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens, but CeeDee Lamb obviously wasn't in this game. So I was kind of wondering, and we talked about it last week where I was like, there's no CeeDee Lamb and you have to rely on George Pickens. How reliable is that? The Cowboys hadn't shown really a bolstered run game at any point. They were hurt all along the offensive line. Like, I didn't think this was going to go well at all. And in the beginning, it wasn't really for the Dallas Cowboys. And then, you know, Dak Prescott does what Dak Prescott does and essentially willed his team back in that fourth quarter, especially. And then you end with the long field goal, which that entire last drive, Andy, I was like, why aren't they being more aggressive? These teams have been going blow for blow. Clearly, you can get into the end zone, right? Like, you have all three timeouts. I know you have only 35 seconds on the clock, but you have all three timeouts. That's plenty of time to get all the way down the field. This is why you pay Jordan Love what you pay Jordan Love.
Yep.
And I had full faith that Jordan Love could do it too, because he had been doing it already that game. I was like, okay, just go get to the end zone. And then it became blatantly apparent that Matt LaFleur was calling that game and playing for the field goal to tie it up and to go into overtime. And I'm like, all right, worked out because they went to overtime. Doesn't mean it was the right decision.
Yeah.
That was basically like my entire thought process behind all of the Packers decision making from like the 2 minute warning on, where I was like, just because it worked out sort of doesn't mean it was the right call. I don't know. The conservative play calling was really irking me. I was getting mad.
It's just so incredible too. And we've obviously talked about this here on the show all week long, but the last three drives prior to the final field goal drive in regulation were touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. And then you scored, you drove right down the field, got the touchdown. And at the end of regulation, the only thing that stopped you there was really the time. And then you get to overtime and you stop them for a field goal. And you know that if you get a touchdown, you win. And you immediately slice right through them to get down to what was like the 15-yard line before then things started to backfire a little bit. And it just felt like you got to that final red zone area, and it didn't feel like they had the same level of, hey, we're just going to slice right through you. It was like, well, we got to be careful. It's just like, well, just don't, just go for it. Go for the jugular. It's right there for you. And it's like in every crappy like movie where the bad guy like gives you more chances at the end to like redeem yourself. It's just like, don't, just don't, just end it right here. What are you doing? Step on their throat and it's over with. And instead it's like, well, we got to be careful. It's like, oh, come on.
It was so funny too, because like, I mean, the Cowboys had a great plan against Jordan Love. Like, I will, like, the Cowboys defense, like, they were dropping eight, like, every other second. He was clearly uncomfortable. And there were some times, I don't know if it was an interception or it was, like, it ended up being an incompletion. There were a couple plays that, like, Green Bay got a break on. And it was like, okay, great. So you think that, like, that momentum is then building for, like, this ultimate game-winning drive in overtime. You've got all that, like, and it just didn't happen, and you were left wanting, or at least that's how I felt. I was left wanting with, I was like, why were you playing for the tie? I mean, like, you know, I talked about the playing for the long field goal where I was like, just because it worked out doesn't mean it was the right decision. But like, I couldn't believe it when I realized that they were essentially playing for the tie. And I'm like, I have my own issues with overtime rules, I don't hate that they guarantee each team a possession now. And like, I think that that's fair, but then don't put a time limit on it or make it a full quarter. Like, having it be 10 minutes, you can get teams driving down and like wasting all of the time. And then you're pressed for time because like, but it's like, then do you receive the ball for overtime? But then it's like, well, then we don't know what we need exactly. And like, you don't know how aggressive to be and all this other stuff. So like, And that's all part of the strategy, and maybe that's how the NFL wants it. But I didn't appreciate like having to be up against the clock there for the second team that gets the ball, and especially when, you know, their defense showed up and held them to a field goal. So I don't know. The clock management and the play calling, the conservative play calling, it's interesting to me because I think that when you have offensive head coaches, like all the guys that get the bad rap are the defensive ones, right? Because they're like, they don't mind having the game be decided by the defense. That's their unit. So like, of course they're going to place their trust in the defense. And so it leads to a lot more conservative play calling, I think, like when you see defensive head coaches. But, you know, Matt LaFleur being an offensive head coach, I think we think that he's, you know, in the camp of being aggressive and he's the offensive guy and he wants to step on people's throats and all that other stuff. And it's like, that game did not show me that that's who Matt LaFleur is.
No.
And I'm just like, I don't get me wrong, he's still a great coach, but I'm just kind of like, he really is a lot more conservative than I want him to be.
I don't understand fully why either. And it's definitely, I think, a fair criticism right now. And you and I have obviously both been two people that have defended Matt LaFleur, and I think really appreciate a lot of the great qualities that Matt brings to the table. But it just seemed like there was a time, and certainly with Aaron, where they were ultra aggressive. Everything had an analytical approach to it. Like they were like, you would see the charts and they'd be at like the top three of like decision-making of like what you should do analytically in every decision. And now it just feels like, and I could even understand in Jordan's first year, right? Of like, hey, we're going to have to be a little bit more cautious in his first year. I can even understand last year where Jordan was hurt And, you know, you started to play better defensively under Jeff Hafley, and you felt like, hey, our offense just isn't quite there with Jordan's injury. Like, we're going to have to grind out some of these. We're going to be a little bit more cautious. We're going to let the defense kind of dictate. I can even understand that a little bit. Now in year three of Jordan as the starter, and especially when he's just cutting through defense, specifically this week against Dallas, like, you just got to play to win, and he didn't. And I think it's a fair criticism by far in this game.
Yeah, and that it's such a good point, because you do have a defense that is very much able to handle like sudden change situations. Yep. You have a defense that can clearly stifle teams, because they did it in that overtime period when it mattered. And you need, so like, there's an element, I think, of needing to trust the defense more. And then there's an element of, yeah, like you said, trusting Jordan Love more. He's healthy now. He also has, I mean, how many crucial plays did Matthew Golden come up with? I mean, he has the dude right there. And not on top of the fact that like Romeo Doubs had the hat trick, and you were firing on as many cylinders as you possibly wanted to be. Josh Jacobs led the team in what, rushing yards and receiving yards in that game. So like, you had your full breadth of the offense available to you. You had Jordan Love, and it was like, honestly, I feel like, I mean, playing for the tie, I was really getting angry, honestly, for Packer fans. What was happening? Because like, I was like, I don't know. I mean, it's easy for me to say because I'm not a coach, but if I'm a coach, like, I think I'd rather lose than play for a tie. Like, I think I would rather be aggressive and trying to be playing for the win and end up losing than, but I mean, again, easy for me to say. But it was really that last sequence before the long field goal in the fourth quarter that just irked me, because I was like, you had everything set up in every game situation you practice, like in practice, a lot of times teams will do the situational periods. And that is like such a standard one where it's like, okay, you do have all three timeouts, but you only have 35 seconds and you need to get down the field and you should score a touchdown to win the game and all this other stuff. That was just a quintessential situation that you are always going to practice. Yep. And it just looked like Matt didn't, I don't know. It was confusing. Like the sequence of plays, like I'm going to go back to it actually, because I'm like, it just baffled me in so many ways. Okay, so like, you have get the ball back, 35 seconds. You get the pass, 25 yards, you gash him to Josh Jacobs.
Yep.
Yeah, and then you go incomplete, and it was actually Kenny Clark that, you know, got to Jordan. And then you get the pass short right to Malik Heath, push out of bounds, 9 yards. Still, you pick it up on second and 10. All right, so it's third and one, you run, great. Fine, that's fine. That's when you have to burn the first timeout. You get 12 seconds left. But then it was like, you ran the next play. And I'm like, you just picked up the first down. You just took a timeout. And Dallas even took a timeout for that matter. So you got double the time to think about this.
Yep.
Why did you take a shot? Why did you take a shot right there? And then you take the shot after that, and then it doesn't work out. But you had to burn another timeout because you ran the ball right there. And then I'm like, it just didn't make a whole lot of sense, that whole series, where I was just like, do you not practice this? You practice this. You had to practice this.
Yeah, we've seen it in training camp multiple times, like practicing that exact situation and scenario. And it just didn't feel like it. And certainly didn't feel like it in overtime either. And even like before the end of regulation, like even if they couldn't quite get to the end zone, right? Like, I get that kickers are making every kick known to man right now, but settling for like a 50 plus yard field goal to tie the game when the game's on the line there, like, that's not easy, especially the way your field goal operation has been working. And you just had one blocked the week ago and blocked in this game. So be like, yeah, we got this easy, you know, like 50 plus yard field goal. It's like, man, I love that you trust this field goal operation that much, but like, maybe make this thing a little bit easier for your kicker at worst. And they're just like, no, we got, and again, to your point, like, it worked out there where they got to overtime and they made the 50 plus yard field goal, but man, that's not always going to work that way. And it just felt like that was way too conservative in that situation.
Wait. And like, that's where I was at too with it, where I was like, you already had the field, you had the kick blocked. Like
Yeah.
Like, that can mess with a kicker's head, even if you do trust your kicker. Like, or clearly, like, maybe they found something as part of your kicking unit that they can exploit or something along those lines. Like, that was my other thing about playing for that long field goal, was like, are you really that confident that he can hit this right now? Like, it was extremely conservative. Again, it worked out, but like, I think I said it on Blue Sky. I was like, just because it worked doesn't mean it was right.
No, I'm totally with you. So as we get to this bye week for Green Bay, they are 2-1-1 in the most inexplicable possible way. Like if you had
yeah, we saw that like, coming.
Label the like, okay, they've got the Lions, the Commanders, the Cowboys, and the Browns. They're going to win two, tie one, and lose one. You would have never in a million years ever guessed that the loss was to the Browns, the tie was to the Cowboys, and that you beat the Commanders and the Lions. Yet here we are. That's exactly what happened. How do you view this team a quarter of the way through the season in the, you know, pantheon of NFL teams, or however you want to view them? We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now, you and I make decisions every day, but on Prize Picks, being right can get you paid. Don't miss any of the excitement this season on Prize Picks, where it is good to be right. Now, Green Bay has a bye in week 5, which is why it's even more thrilling to get in on all the action on Prize Picks. With no home team to cheer for, it's always more exciting when you're cheering on some of your favorite players in Prize Picks. This week, I'm going with Jahmyr Gibbs to have a big game in Cincinnati, Derrick Henry to have a monster game on the ground against Houston, and Danny Dimes to bounce back big and get a win against Las Vegas. Now, here's the best part. Prize Picks is the only app that offers stacks, meaning you can pick the same player up to 3 times in the same lineup. Want to pick more on Josh Allen's passing yards, rushing yards, and touchdowns? Now you can pick all of them in the same lineup only on Prize Picks. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget to use that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. Sports are all about competition. Every snap, every possession, every clutch moment matters. That same energy is what 1v1 me brings to video games. Every single day, you can watch and stake on matchups in Madden, NBA 2K, FC, and Call of Duty Search and Destroy. All the games are streamed live, every match has refs, and payouts are instant. And these aren't just random online lobbies. These are the best players in the scene, pros, streamers, and rivals, with season playoffs and the championship game on the line. Every game matters. Over 100 million has already been paid out on the app, and the community is growing fast. If you're a sports fan, a gamer, or just someone who loves having a little extra on the line, 1v1me is where you need to be. It's not just about winning. It's about the bragging rights, too. Every match has a chat going crazy, and you can back your pick in real time. Download today and use code PACKADAY. Your first stake on the app is risk-free. That's code PACKADAY for a risk-free first stake. Do not miss this opportunity.
Well, I honestly think that they should be thanking the schedule gods that they got the Lions to start with, because we've seen that the Lions have figured it out, or at least conceivably look like they're not taking as much of a step back as you initially thought. And maybe it was right. That first game where they're still settling in. They've got the new coordinators. They've got plenty of new assistant coaches that they were still kind of getting used to. But it definitely seems like that roster has certainly not taken a step back. So, you know, good thing that you got him early. But no, I think in the grand scheme of things, I think the Packers will still be fine. Again, like you saw a lot of good things in that game, and I'm not at all suggesting it was a moral victory by any stretch of the imagination, right. But when it comes to your talent and your roster, I mean, this defense looks a lot more comfortable. It's very apparent that they are in their second year under Jeff Hafley, and they all have figured out their roles. You had Micah Parsons, who like, I think everybody really wanted him to make like the play, you know, where he was going to let, and he was so close a couple of times, like getting to Dak and all the other stuff, but he did have 7 pressures and a sack. 7 pressures were the most, was more than anybody else combined, like all the other guys combined.
Yep.
So like he was all over the place in that game, and that is only going to pay dividends. And like, it's not just because it was the Dallas Cowboys, like he's been showing up for the Packers defense week in and week out. And I think that that's going to add to that. So like, I'm still not worried because this team is too talented. And then offensively with Jordan Love's healthy, like I put him up against anyone. I'm you know this, you guys know this. Like I've been a Jordan Love believer for like the very beginning. I was like, there's no way this isn't going to go right. And he showed in that game, especially in that fourth quarter, that like he can figure it out. He can slice up defenses. He like when the pressure's on, he can deliver. And like having that plus, you know, he's clearly, he has a rapport with Romeo Doubs. He's had a rapport with Romeo Doubs, but that just seems, I mean, like it does seem like Romeo has been one of his more go-to guys. And then you bring in Matthew Golden, who seems to be everything you wanted him to be. like, or he's going to be everything he wants to be. I don't want to say he's there yet. He's not. But I mean, you have, and then you have a running game with Josh Jacobs, who just doesn't want to go down ever. Yeah. I mean, I really think that he's one of the most productive backs in the league, whether or not, you know, he's not Derrick Henry. He's not Saquon Barkley. I get that. But when you need him, he's there, and you can do so many different things with him. And that's what makes him so dangerous. So I just, this whole roster is exactly what we thought it was. It's just, I don't know. I mean, it seems to also be a roster, or at least a system or scheme, that teams are able to kind of diagnose pretty quickly. And that's what we saw against the Browns. Like we said, the Browns had a great plan against the Browns defense had a great plan against this offense. And it seemed like the Cowboys did too. So I think that in this bye week, I have to think that Matt LaFleur is going to be self-scouting quite a bit to figure it out. Like, what have these teams figured out about us, and how can we change that?
No, I think that's fair. And I think there will be a lot of that self-reflection over the course of this week. I mean, I'm buoyed by the fact that I think we've seen this team already play at a Super Bowl caliber defense, at least through the 4 weeks. We've seen them play a Super Bowl caliber offense, at least this past week. And quite frankly, the Detroit and Washington offensive performances were more than good enough. And they didn't even really need to have their foot on the gas in the second half of those games, because they had the lead that they had. And then, you know, well, the special teams is like an XFL level special team, so that still is a work in progress. But we've even seen them put together some very complimentary football the first couple weeks of the season. I think now that the name of the game is consistency, not only week in and week out, but just throughout the course of the game. Can you play with that consistent level of offense that you showed against Dallas? Can you play with the consistent defense that you showed the first 3 weeks of the season? Can the special teams play competent and just complimentary enough to kind of get you through it? And if so, I'm still extremely excited about this team, but obviously some things that they need to correct during this bye week and obviously through the remainder of this regular season.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up special teams there too, because I do think that that's clearly the weakest unit right now, the Green Bay Packers. And you just need it so that they don't lose you games. And yes, to be fair, in that game against the Cowboys, you hit the long field goal when it mattered. You hit the field goal even at the end there to tie it up, so you didn't lose. So, like, from that perspective, that was working. But, I mean, the long kick returns from the Cowboys that set them up with good field position, some of the missed tackles, I mean, they were just not as buttoned up on that unit as they should be. And that clearly proved to make the difference, especially as Dallas was mounting that comeback in the fourth quarter. So the good field position that they had and they were able to do, I don't know. I think that unit needs to also do some self-reflecting.
As we look at this team again through 4 weeks, what has given you the most confidence? If I said, hey, as you look at this team as a potential contender, what gives you the most just overall confidence and conviction that this is a potential Super Bowl contending team?
I mean, I think it's twofold. It's the defense. Honestly, I have talked quite a bit, I think I talked about it last week or maybe 2 weeks ago on my radio show, where I named the Packers defense as like a defense that was going to dictate how the season goes for their team. And that could mean a variety of things. But if Green Bay is going to make it to the Super Bowl, it's going to be, you know, the defense is like, they're going to go the way of the defense. So if the defense is, you know, what we want it to be, and they look comfortable and they can get pressure on opposing quarterbacks and they can still manage those takeaways and all the other stuff, I'm not worried about this team whatsoever. It's not just the defense though, it's Jordan Love. And we saw that in this game against the Packers, that he can deliver in those really tough situations. And I think he's an incredibly talented quarterback. He's athletic enough to get himself out of trouble. He can throw off platform. He does the whole back shoulder fade thing, although it didn't work out a couple of times against the Dallas Cowboys. But so, like, a lot of times he connects on that, and he's fearless. And I think that you would take that any day of the week over a guy that, you know, is maybe a little bit more trepidatious or whatever. Like, yes, you're going to get into trouble for that, but that's why you have that defense. And so that's why the two of those guys, where I'm like, you have a defense that allows Jordan Love to be Jordan Love. And Jordan Love at max capacity, where he is just going, you know, doing what he needs to do, where he is taking every risk that he wants to take. Because if that works out, that's so hard to defend and that's so hard to game plan for. And so those two things are just so complementary that I'm like, if it was another team too, like, think about it. You have a really good quarterback, and you have a quarterback that is fearless, that has a lot of options, that has theoretically a play caller that, you know, understands that about him and understands him as a player. And then you have a defense to lean on. And I just, like, if that's any other team, you're like, yeah, of course it's a Super Bowl contender. Like, that's essentially Josh Allen. Like, yeah. That's Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. So, like, I'm not saying that Jordan Love is Josh Allen yet, but I'm just saying, like, that recipe, the good quarterback with the reliable defense, that will get you everywhere, I think, in this league.
No, I think so, too. And just having that aggressive mentality with Jordan and having a defense that has the ability to make big plays, get you off the field, et cetera. I'm with you. I think that has absolutely the ability to be a recipe for success. Now, you mentioned trepidation. As far as this team goes through 4 weeks, what gives you that hesitation or trepidation on this team of like, yeah, they look maybe like contenders at times, but this could be their Achilles heel that holds them back?
I mean, special teams is up there because you can't have other teams starting in good field position. That's going to hurt your defense eventually. And then they're not going to be as reliable because they're going to be tired. But the offensive line is more worrisome than I want it to be. Just, you know, injuries and the way that they've had to shuffle it around. So I think the offensive line is probably the one where, and like, it's really just injury related. And then, I mean, if you want to talk about conservative play calling, like, hey, Matt, like, be a little more aggressive. Be like, take a page from your quarterback's book. Yep. Take a page from his book. He doesn't care. He's got no fear. Just let him do what he needs to do. Those are the things that I think are holding me back. But I mean, a lot of that is injury related.
Yeah, and hopefully the offensive line figures it out as they get healthier. I do have some concern there, though. Elton looked better this week, which was good. Rasheed Walker still is giving me some concerns at left tackle, but hopefully Zach Tom coming back can really help that offensive line out quite a bit. We'll see what Aaron Banks can give them when he comes back as well. And then, special teams, just you can't have the catastrophic errors, but that's literally been their, you know, standard operating procedure for far too long now. So I have no faith that they're going to get that cleaned up. So there might just have to be something that they overcome in the end. As you look at this right now, Bears have a bye week this week. Lions have a pretty easy game against the Bengals coming up. Vikings have the Browns internationally. Stack this NFC North going into week 5 as you've seen these four teams play 4 games each so far.
Yeah, I mean, the Lions are still at the top, which, coming into the season, I think we all still said, like, this is still the Lions division to lose. And until we see that they've taken a huge step back, like, I'm not going to relinquish that. I still think the Packers are second. And then Vikings and then Bears. Still don't trust the Bears. I'm going to have to see. I mean, like, granted, hey, you know, I think the Las Vegas game went a long way just as far as like turning it around at the last second and coming out with a win and really finishing well. That's not something we've seen them do. They won back-to-back games. They won their first road game of the season under Ben Johnson. Like, those were all things that you wanted to see, but I have trust issues with them. So I need to see them stack a little bit more. With the Vikings, I mean, you know, they lost a close one after, you know, going over to Ireland on Friday. They got there on Friday and going like straight to practice. Those are always weird games. So I'm not putting that loss really on them. And I think that it's going to be interesting to see them being over there for a full week and then now playing again, if it's going to look like a more normal operation for the Minnesota Vikings, which I think it will. So like, I'm not worried about them. Poor Browns get the entire NFC North.
Yeah.
Like back to back to back. I mean, they play the Bears a little bit later, but like, that's a tough stretch.
Got the win versus Green Bay though.
I know. I still put Green Bay like right there with Detroit. Cause I mean, I can't say that Green Bay is a Super Bowl contender and then put them anywhere else really. Cause I mean, I think the Lions could get there too for that matter. So like, you know, I think there's two potential contenders in this division. I still believe a lot in the Vikings. That's the other thing. I still think those are like a close 1-2-3, and then the Bears still have more to prove to me.
I think I like the Bears 3 over the Vikings, mostly due to remaining schedule. If you look at this Vikings schedule, so they've got Cleveland this week internationally, Dylan Gabriel's first start. I think Minnesota takes care of business in that one. Then they have their bye. And then after that, and again, we never know what these teams are going to look like in injuries and things like that, but Philly, Chargers, Lions, Ravens, then they get the Bears at home, Packers at Seahawks, Commanders at Cowboys, They get a semi reprieve in New York against the Giants, and then Lions and Packers. Like, it is a brutal schedule. Minnesota, where Chicago, at least coming up, you know, they have their bye this week. They have a, I think Washington will be tough with Daniels likely being back by that point. But you do have, like, you've got New Orleans on the schedule. You've got Cincinnati on the schedule. You've got the Giants, the Vikings, even the Steelers. I still think there's some opportunity there. The Browns. So, like, they've actually got some games on the schedule that feel like a little bit more winnable. But I think those two are close, and I can understand still your hesitation with Chicago. It was a win against the Raiders, and they did show that they can come back, which I think is important. But it wasn't the most convincing win against the Raiders in the world. We'll be right back. Hey friends, football season is here, and that means you're going to want to have a VPN set up to make sure that you are ready to watch the right sporting events that aren't always available in your region. I'll be honest with you guys, a few years ago, I didn't even know what a VPN was. Now, I use my VPN daily for a variety of different reasons, including protecting my private data, changing my browsing location, and having the best premium cybersecurity at all times. And that's why I use NordVPN. NordVPN is the fastest VPN in the world, which means no buffering or lagging while streaming. Plus, world-class cybersecurity, the ability to utilize it on up to 10 different devices, and a VPN that I know is going to work every single time. There's simply no better choice than NordVPN. So here's what you need to do. Go to nordvpn.com/packer to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan. That link, nordvpn.com/packer, will also give you 4 extra months on their 2-year plan. There's zero risk with NordVPN's 30-day money-back guarantee. The link is in the podcast episode description. So what are you waiting for? Go to nordvpn.com/packer today and get NordVPN right now.
No, and I mean, the Raiders still have a lot to figure out, too. That offensive line, I feel like the Bears should have been feasting a little bit more just with the issues that they've had there in Las Vegas, or, you know, as they rebuild it, I think they'll be fine in the long run. But, yeah, I'm not mad about, like, putting the Vikings down below the Bears, but I just think that their talent, that roster, is better to me than what the Bears have. And, I mean, granted, you know, they have Carson Wentz and the Bears have Caleb Williams. And I think that you would switch that in a heartbeat, but you do hope that eventually JJ McCarthy can come back and continue on his development. But it's just that was just the worst thing that could have happened for him. But I don't think it was the worst thing that could have happened for the Vikings, just because, like, we've seen them weather this storm before. Yep. And Carson Wentz is a serviceable quarterback. We've seen that. We saw that even in the game against the Steelers overseas. Like, he's not like he clearly gets the system. And he, with the talent around him, you got Jordan Addison back now too. I just think it's like, I like the Vikings roster a ton, and I love their coaches. So, like, how am I going to put them at the bottom of the division at this point when, like I said, I don't put a lot of stock in that loss to the Steelers overseas. When you have, I've been on those trips. I've done that trip. It's hard. And you're like delirious because you have no idea where you are, what time zone you're in. And that, it's a lot.
Yeah, those international games are chaos for sure. As we look at upcoming schedules before we get out of here, I always like to look at quarters of the season. So the Packers finished their first quarter 2-1-1. Their next quarter, they have the bye this week, but then you've got Bengals at home. And we've seen the way that this Bengals team has played without Joe Burrow. It's not been pretty. Arizona in Arizona. Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh, Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay Packers. That's going to be a fun one. And then Carolina Panthers at home. What are your expectations for this Packers team going into these next 4 games over the next quarter of the season?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they end up winning all 4. Although, it's not Toyotathon yet. So I need to temper my expectations. But I would think 3-1 at the least. But, like, you know, I would have said 3-1 in the first quarter of the season too, least, and that ended up 2-1-1, which no one saw coming. So no. I don't know. I think at least 3-1. And if you're sitting at 3-1 in the second quarter, and you're sitting at, what does that make you? Oh God, it's like 5-1-1 or 5-2-1.
Yeah.
Let me do math. I'm a writer. I don't do math. I think that's fine. You know, you're not gonna, I always said too, like, it's not going to take 15 wins to win this division this year. It's just not. Like, these teams are the AFC North is what we thought they were going to be, but still a tough division to get out of in the first place, and then having to play the AFC North and depending on who else you have to play based on where you finished last year. I mean, I don't see 15 wins happening for any of these teams. It's just like, they're going to cannibalize each other. So if that's the case, then you're looking at 3, 4, 5 losses at minimum. So, and still win the division. So if that's the case, then I'm not worried about it.
Yeah. I think this quarter has the ability to be, especially coming off the bye, that Bengals game right at home should be a very winnable game to get you kind of back on the right track. And then hopefully they can just pick up some momentum from there. That Steelers game will feel like a big fight feel. The Cardinals one feels like a little bit of, not a trap game, but just right before that Steelers game. And it's like Arizona on the road in Arizona in the heat is always just a little bit wonky. But if they can handle that one, I really like their opportunities of going 4-0 in that stretch. Hopefully they can stay healthy, get healthier, and make that run over the course of the next quarter. All right, Carmen, any final thoughts before we get you out of here?
No, I actually was watching this game at a Packers bar. And so I was like really, really in it. And it was really, really fun. And it was just like, it was one of those things where everybody was just on the same page about everything. And so it was just fun. It's fun to see a fan base that they're not fighting amongst each other. They're all they were just all on the same page. It was cool. I don't know. I really appreciated it. It was fun. So that was a fun time.
Packers bars, especially even the ones not in Green Bay, around the world, are really fun to go to for Packers games. And if you get that experience, it's usually pretty fun. There's just a lot of camaraderie and like you said, just like-mindedness. And it's just like the shared experience is what you're kind of looking for there. And you absolutely get it. So it's a ton of fun. Carmen, I cannot thank you enough. We will absolutely follow you over on Blue Sky at Carmy V, also on X at Carmy V, and over on Fox Sports Radio as well. Anything else you want to plug on the way up?
No. You just go there. There's a bunch of stuff, coming up. And if you're in the Chicago area, you'll probably see me on Marquee Sportsnet as well. Tempering expectations about the Chicago Bears.
All right. We appreciate your efforts in that. Bears fans every once in a while need a little temper of expectation. So that can go a long way. We appreciate your service to the community. Follow her on social media at Carmy V. You can find me at Andy Herman NFL. That's going to do it for us today. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.